Hello, and welcome to this month's monthly Q&A call. I'm so excited to be here with you. I know we have a few apologies today, so if you're watching the recording, welcome, we missed you. But looking forward to today and to the questions that have been asked. So I hope you're well. I've had a lovely morning. I'm going to tell you a little about that in just a moment. And just before we dive into your questions, I will let you know who I do know are apologies. And so just giving a shout out to Jane, to Laurel, to Sonia, who says she's swamped with new jobs. Great. Stressed. Needs to hire a new collector and overworked, however, loving it. And she's got a client meeting at 2. Have fun. I'll play catch up soon, she said. And Linda can't be here, or Maria or Karen. And so hi to all of you, and welcome to those of you who have been able to make it here live. Now, Selena, you've used a different last name, which just threw me, but I see the photo and I know it's you. So we do not have an imposter in our midst. Welcome. Let's dive right in. Here's what's coming up. We have a few ideal moments to celebrate. We have your questions. And I know a couple of you who ask questions are right here on the call. If we have time available, we'll open up to questions from others here in the group. And then we'll finish up with some next steps. And Chandra's video is off because she's eating lunch. No problem at all. I actually just finished the empty plate. So, no worries. You can tell us what you're having if you like. I know it's going to be something healthy because you and Mick have really good diets. Christy Lee is one of our moments here. She started on her podcast. So can't wait to hear. Maybe you could just give us a quick update sometime today before we go, Christy Lee, on how that's going. I know you were recording. Have you published? Is it out there? Can we share it for you? What's happening there? Karina got some feedback about her pop-up, which is good. Pop-ups are still a really great way to capture leads. We actually track our pop-ups and we change them out every so often. So if we have a campaign going on, it'll usually be about that. Right now it's gone back to our basic pop-up or our, you know, sort of general one, if you like, which is about, you know, we're closed. If you'd like to join the network, go ahead and request an invitation. That just got turned on this morning. I just checked it actually, and it's a little tweaking it needs. And so pop-ups, they don't have to be sleazy. They don't have to be interruptive. They can really be a way to get people onto your database. And that's what Karina's doing with getting people onto her email list where she can nurture them. And in this break the ice study task, I'd love to know if some of you broke the ice with your clients. Karina said that in her newsletter, she was putting a story about a little lesson about the attitude of gratitude. I hope you got some good feedback on that. And then Shan was talking about how she took a leap and revealed her love of walking in nature and of singing and her fear of singing in public. And she made a video singing while walking and committed to 7 songs for 7 days for 7 weeks. Wow, that's a lot of singing. And her intention was to share it, but when she tried, it would not share. Yes. And so because we're a private group, if it's coming from a private group, it won't share. And so she's given us a link to her page there if you want to check that out. And I'll definitely do that. So Chandra says she's having zucchini and lentil patties with beetroot and feta salad. Yum! With avocado, cos and radicchio. That does sound delish. And Christy Lee saying nothing published yet. Hit a few technical snags, but we'll be batch recording for the rest of this week and we'll have those edited and live, ready to launch 25th of March. Awesome. Cannot wait. And Ange says nutritionist approved, Chandra. Very good. So this morning, we could go to camera if you like, Robin. So this morning, and one of the reasons we ended up changing the session, I didn't know, but a friend had bought me a ticket to see Elizabeth Gilbert, and it just coincided with our ideal session. So as soon as I knew and I saw the clash, I moved it. Now, Elizabeth Gilbert is the Eat Pray, author of Eat Pray Love, which I kind of read a bit of. I didn't really, you know, it was a huge hit, obviously, and became a movie. But it was her book, Big Magic, about creativity, which I loved. Has anyone watched, seen that or read that? Oh, my gosh. She's just such a good storyteller and a great writer. And I was just so absorbed that I actually listened to it as well as watching it. Anyway, Business Chicks have been doing a tour with her. And so I went to an event this morning from 9 till 11. And she is an incredible storyteller, and she just had us in the palm of her hand for the whole hour and a bit that she was speaking. But she was talking about creating, she talked about a lot of things, but she was talking about creating time and space in which to create. So this is such an important message, that in order to create whatever we want to create in our lives, we can't squeeze it in between things. We actually need to create that time in our lives, whether it is to, plan out a vacation, or whether it's to plan out that sales page or map out that challenge or that podcast. I know for me, when I try to steal moments to do things, they get done. But it's not me in my most creative, because creativity takes that blank space, takes that being able to be present with what you're doing in order to be really creative. Now, some of you will know that my bold goal for this year is to write a book. And tomorrow I was meant to be on a plane to the US for 2 weeks to attend one of my favorite conferences called South by Southwest. But the city of Austin actually canceled the event. Now, this is actually three events. I was going to South by Southwest Interactive, which is a media conference. The week after is film. The week after is music, or music and then film. And so 400,000 people go into the city of Austin for this conference every year. So you can imagine how much money and how many transactions that is. And for them to cancel it in 37 years, it's never been canceled. Obviously a big, big deal. And while I'm sorry to not be going, because it's always a great place for me to access new authors and experts and talent for our podcast and for our summits and all that, I'm not sorry to have 12 days back in my calendar, plus the travel. And so then when I started to look at my schedule, knowing that I do want to release this book, and looking how I had not allowed really any time outside of my webinars and my courses and my trainings, I thought, I have been in business for so long. Surely I know how to schedule my time better than this. But it wasn't until this gap appeared in my calendar that I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be my time for diving deep and finding the stories and, what is it that I want to say? And it was that, and looking at the deadlines that I've been given. Those two things are the big motivator. Plus there's other projects, right? But we're always trying to squeeze things in between other things and having this very full schedule. So she said that a mentor once said to her, this was before she wrote her first book, and she had this woman mentoring her, and finally the woman just cracked it, because she just kept putting off writing because she just didn't have time. And she said to her finally, what are you willing to give up to have the life you keep pretending that you want? And she said that was one of the biggest pieces of advice she's ever had. What are you willing to give up in order to have the life you keep pretending you want? So she was being told that she was pretending she wanted to be a real writer, but she was having time for going on vacation and social and TV and restaurants and whatever it was. And they're all things that we want in life, but sometimes we do have to decide, what am I willing to give up in order to have the life and the business that I want? So is it that we're doing things in our business that are not our highest purpose or best use of our time? Is there another way for us to take stewardship and ownership and accountability for our own life in a different way? Because we can use everything to be our reason not to do some of the things that we want to do. How can we each find that quiet place to relax and connect with what we really want or what we should do next? And so she talked about how being born a woman, she said to be born a woman is to be born anxious. And she talked about how so many of us operate from that place of anxiety, and there's always something to do. There's always someone to take care of. There's always some task to do or some errand to run and whatever. And she was just really encouraging us to all find spaces in our lives where we can be more present and relaxed. Because she talks about, if you think about a negotiation, the person who's the most chilled, the most relaxed, has got the greatest power. And so she was mapping that over to life. You can imagine yourself as a leader. If you're an anxious leader, are you more powerful or less powerful than if you presented and were, not just pretending, but you actually were calm and present and able to see the whole picture rather than being myopic about the little things you're focusing on? How do we lift ourselves up and find that place to be present? And I wanted to share this with you because she also gave us these three things that you could do to help release anxiety and find more peace. Do you want to know them? Yep. Okay. So her three things, and she spent most of the hour talking about these, so I'm only going to give you the synopsis. The first one sounds really obvious, but it's priorities. And it's not, you know, put your to-do list in priorities. It's really about knowing who and what matters most in your business and being able to say, I do not care about anything else. So finding what that is. And she talked about, because she was in relationship with a woman who passed away about a year ago now. They'd been best friends and then they were in a relationship and the woman was diagnosed with a form of kidney cancer that had given her 6 months to live. And Elizabeth was saying how at that point, nothing mattered. She cleared her calendar. She stopped writing the book. She stopped doing the talks. She stopped every commitment because the only thing that mattered was her being there with her partner in the last 6 months of her life. And now that's a very severe instance, but all of us have had those situations where priorities become very clear when someone is ill or there's some major tragedy. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's really just knowing who and what do I care about and being able to say no to the rest of that. That includes being able to say no to things in your inbox that are distractions and nice to haves and or projects that you think you should be doing, but you don't really, really care enough about. So her first one was priorities. Her second one was boundaries. And that was about being able to say yes and no to things and creating, like she said, a sacred circle around you and knowing what is sacred to you. And like for me, my time is sacred to me. My time with PJ is sacred to me. My time with my family is sacred to me. My time with some of my friends is sacred. For others, they're not inside that sacred circle. So that's that friend that you always mean to catch up with, but you don't because it's not, you know, you've created the boundary that says everything outside of this is not sacred. And so how do you map this across to your own life? So prioritizing and then creating boundaries. And then the final one for her, and she said this, she said, take it or leave it. This is, you know, my three things, was what she called mysticism. And for her, it was about connecting with something greater than herself. And now she's not religious, but she said she still connects with what is her inspiration and what is, you know, that ability that when we're really still, that we can actually be guided and that we can have our intuition or our higher self speaking to us. So they were her three things that she does to help release anxiety and find more peace. And she talked about her morning practice of writing a letter to whom she calls love. And she described love as being a maternal being. She said, not the mother you had, just a universal maternal being, right? Because some of us had mothers that perhaps when we think of love, that is not, you know, the feeling that we get. And so she talked about just that, like a universal loving feminine energy. And so every morning she writes a letter to love, she said. So she journals and she sort of spills her guts on everything that's happening. And then she writes to herself as though it was coming from love, from source. And she said the continuing message that she gets when she allows to do that is that I am here and I am here for you. And she said the peace that comes over her when she knows there's nothing for her to do, that she's not a broken being, that she is loved, and that if she listens hard enough, the guidance will come to her. It was really beautiful. It was a really, really, really special morning. And I don't know if this was her last event here in Australia, but if you do get a chance to see her, if you do get a chance to read the book, please do. But I felt in my heart to want to share this with you because it's firstly fresh in my mind, but I think there's just some useful things there to, yeah. Thank you, Selena. Yeah, that we can all take away. And as I said, if you haven't read Big Magic, it is such an inspiring book. All righty. The book is Big Magic. Yeah, I don't have a copy. I got a copy given to me this morning, but I took it, I dropped it off at home. Yeah, Big Magic. Very good. All right. Now it's time to get to your questions. And I will, I'm sure I'll get through the three questions that we had. And then if we have time, we will go through more. Selena says she has no idea how her name changed. That's okay. We know it's you. All good. So the first question is from the lovely Christy Lee. And she says, my question is, I know I'm struggling with my messaging and really need to get this right. I'm happy to invest and get help with this to make it happen faster. And it's not my expertise. Is investing in developing my brand story strategy what I need and the right way to go? I feel overwhelmed and not really understanding, I guess, the end result and whether this will create real clarity on my messaging or whether I should be doing something else instead. Okay. I have a few different ideas and I might just open up your line, actually. Let me see if I can get this headset to work. Oh, My computer just went blank. Robin, my monitor just shut off. So I don't know if you're seeing me or hearing me, or if I have just disappeared.
Hi, Susie, it's Robin.
Hi.
You have disappeared.
I have disappeared.
You have disappeared. Can you see me? I will send some. Oh, there you are.
Okay. Yeah, my monitor just went blank. All right.
Special.
Spooky.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Christine.
Hi, Susie.
Hello. Hey, I do have quite a few ideas for you, but I just wanted to just check in firstly. And I'd just love to know, just tell me about the overwhelm. What's happening?
I guess I know that my messaging is not particularly clear right now, and I need to work on that, but I'm not sure whether, so I've spoken to someone to get some advice, and they've suggested a brand story strategy is the way to go. But it's, I'm not clear whether at the end of that I'm going to have clear messaging or what the result of that process will be, and whether I guess anyone or yourself have any advice as to get, in order to get my messaging clear, what the best process is, because I don't think I'm articulating it to the supplier particularly well either, because I'm not sure. I don't know what I don't know, I guess.
And what do you think is causing the overwhelm?
I'm just uncertainty about what I'm actually needing to articulate in order to get the right outcome of the process, maybe.
Okay.
And because I'm not a creative, so I don't, this, all this stuff is, you know, not my.
I totally hear you. And I know that having been through this process of uncovering our messaging and getting clearer, I had to seek help for it as well. I wanted to, you know, in one instance, you know, I wanted to get clear on the messaging or what a product was and what was included and all that. You know, I've actually taken myself off away from Sydney and had that time to think. And sometimes it was, you know, just me and PJ. Sometimes it was facilitated. Like my friend Michelle has a couple of times facilitated things to get clear. And it really helps to help have that sounding board. The thing is that there's so many things that you that relate to our messaging. And so I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions. And then Chandra, I see your question here. Do you feel like you have clarity on your ideal client?
Yes and no. So I think I do for the HR Unlimited product, but as I'm trying to move into more of a one-to-many service sort of offering toward, you know, as this year goes on. So the podcast is the first step in that, we're building the audience. And then ultimately I would like to have a membership or something similar. Yes. I'm probably less clear on that ideal client.
Right. Okay. And so before I give you some sort of solutions, I would think that overwhelm can come from not being clear on who the ideal client is, and just remembering that we get to choose who we want to work with. And the anytime that we are undecided about something, it's like walking on an uneven surface. And any decision is almost better than not deciding.
Yes.
And there is no perfect ideal client. It is whomever we choose, and we want to make sure there's enough of them that we can actually make a living, you know, and make a business out of it. And so and do you have, see, because when we know that ideal client, we also know what their pain points are. Then we know if our product or service or our podcast or our membership is going to be helping them. And so PJ and I were having this conversation the other day, and as you know, PJ does a lot of mentoring, and he said, you know, one of the things that even for the women with the most advanced long-term businesses, one of the things that he's always saying is go back to your ideal client. And he said, I noticed that there's resistance because people think, well, I've been in business for 10 years. Surely, you know, I should know this by now. And the truth is, the ideal client is something that we need to keep revisiting, especially when we want to make a pivot, because either we're tired of that product or service or we don't want to do that anymore, or the market has changed, or technology's changed or something, or who we want to serve, or all those points. Excuse me. Hey, Jenny, could I get some chamomile? Thank you. And do you feel like you have spent some time, and please say yes, really figuring out what your ideal business looks like? Like, what's the revenue?
Yeah, definitely. I did a fair bit of work on that planning for this year. And part of what I really want to do is create a structure that's scalable. And there's only a certain amount of scalability in that effectively one-to-one consulting type work, which HR Unlimited gets rid of the straight dollars per hour swap, but it's still not very scalable. And that's why something along the lines of a membership is really appealing to me, because I'm conscious that it's not scalable and therefore limited. And also it's quite exhausting work because it's high concentration and it's just me. So it's not where I want to be spending all of my time. I'm still happy to do a portion of that, and that will form a portion of the business, but I really want to have another revenue stream coming through that's not reliant entirely on my time.
I love that. I love that. And having worked with like Amanda Farmer, she's one of the women in our mastermind, and you might have heard me tell this story before, right? So she went, for those of you who don't know, you know, lawyer sitting across the desk, exchanging time for money, made a decision. She wanted 30% of her income to come from not client work. And so she started to develop her membership, which she's growing, you know, every 6 months she's getting a great intake, really great conversion rates. And so she's building this revenue. Now, it's not a passive revenue stream by any means. She still has to do things. But it's, you know, thank you so much. But it's leveraged and it's not time across the table and it's scalable.
Yeah. And so if you've done your work. I think her model's perfect. I think
perfect for you.
Yeah.
Great. And so if you know your why, if you've got your financial goals, if you know how you, you know, what your ideal lifestyle is from the business, and you've really defined your product mix, like is it high volume, low value, high value, low volume, I've got your pricing models, chosen your market, figured out your who, figured out what the products look like, and then you still feel like, okay, I'm just not articulating it, then I would definitely, I definitely think it's a good investment. I've seen other people do that. Let me ask you Chandra's question before I give you my suggestion. Chandra says, what makes you think your messaging is not clear?
I just feel like the word HR, I think messaging was really clear early on in my business when it was recruitment and we did a bit of HR on the side. I think we were crystal clear about what we were doing and who we were serving, and it was very small in terms of our target market because it was local, and our point of difference in the market was all very clear. But as the business has evolved and changed, and I want to change it further, I guess I'm feeling it's less clear. Whether it's less clear to me more than externally, I'm not sure, but I feel like the term HR is one that I know what it means and people that work in the space know what it means, but I'm not convinced most of our ideal clients would necessarily use, and I think I posted something in the
yes, right, especially small business owners don't use the words HR.
No. So I that's where I feel like there's potentially a gap between what it is that we offer, because when I can sit down and explain it to someone, no problems, they totally get it and it's all good. But in terms of getting that to that point, that's where I feel there's a bit of a gap maybe.
And are you thinking things including your brand name and your product names?
Potentially, yeah. Whether and I guess that's why the podcast, I'm kind of trying to really separate from footprint, because footprint doesn't tell anyone what we do effectively. So and certainly the product names, definitely.
Right, great. Well, you know, you probably know, because you would have seen her in the group, you know, someone like Natasha Hawker, her business is called Employee Matters. And so it's a nice play on word. It's a good, you know, it's a good brand. She's got a different market, I think, to you. But certainly I agree, even when you were Footprint Recruitment, it kind of sort of said like that was a little more.
Because we used to have those separate brands. It was Footprint Recruitment, Footprint HR, and then we kind of brought it in together because it was like too many. But whether that's right moving forward, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Julie Donnell is saying, what is the feedback that you're receiving now from potential clients? Is there a confusion about what you do? Do you find yourself having to explain?
I think that there's not, because as we move into this more less one-to-one, there's not as much opportunity to talk with them directly. And I want to get it right before I launch into a membership so that there's not confusion at that point. And so I guess I'm thinking ahead rather than necessarily just right now, because when I speak to people, it's fine. We can, you know, I can talk their language depending on how they refer to things, I guess.
Right. Great. And if you were to explain what you want to be known for, just tell us, how would you say that in your words?
Freeing business owners from their people problems by educating them so that they can, you know, lead and manage and deal with issues when they arise.
And so freeing people from their people problems, is that helping them recruit?
Yeah, that can be anything from helping them recruit to dealing with staffing issues to terminations, redundancies, performance management, engagement and you know, more positive aspects of leadership.
Okay.
So anything to do with the people within the business.
Yeah, great. Okay, great. So I think that that is, there's definitely some hooks in there, some things that you could play with your messaging. I would definitely have a conversation with Amy Lee of Heart Content.
Yeah.
She uses the brand story model, not the, what's his name?
Not That's who I've been speaking to.
Amy?
Have you? She's given me a quote and she's great. Like I definitely want to work with her. I just want to make sure I'm communicating with her clearly.
Right. Okay. Well, I would hope that she has a process for extracting for people like you and I, who may not be the clearest when we're communicating, having a way to pull that out in a way that sort of they can massage and make sense of. And so she's worked with a number of members now. I like Amy. She's ethical. And from what I understand from the people that she's worked with, and I'm sure she would have testimonials and references that she could give you to speak to other members, she's really good with that. And so should you put your money there or not, you know, everything's an expense. And so if you feel like that's a major stumbling block and that's one that you're not going to, I'm always for paying someone to help me do something that if it was left to me, it would just not happen.
Or take forever.
Yeah, or it's going to take forever, right? Yeah. So I was giving the example of this book. I know that if I just left it to me to put this book together, so I've got someone working with me to make sure that I'm staying on track and that I'm doing all the things and I'm collecting the stories or whatever, because really it would just take too long and it may never happen. And so I'm all for investing in anything that's going to make things happen faster and easier for me. And so if you get a good vibe about Amy, then go for it. I don't know anyone else who I would recommend. I just personally don't know anyone else, but I'm sure that if she didn't feel right for you, that you know, you could find someone else who does that. Is there a hesitation? Or is it just like, I don't know whether to invest the money or?
Yeah, it's just where to invest the money, basically, in terms of what, because I haven't gone through a process like this before, because it's always been something that I've kind of just led and managed, what the kind of outcome of that process would look like and whether there was going to be the right benefit to it or whether I was going to come out at the end and still not be clear on messaging. That was my fear.
Yeah, well, I think part of it, and this is just coming intuitively to me, is you really got to know who you want to be in the world. Like really boldly, you're amazing, Christy Lee. You know, I adore you and you have so much to offer, and whatever it is that's going to allow you to just break free and let us have all of you, all your wonderfulness, whatever, you know. And sometimes it is having the brand. I know when I stepped into her business and away from her strength, I became a different person. Like I could step out and be that brand a whole lot more than I could when I was Australian Business Women's Network, because it didn't fit who I wanted to be in the world. Plus I hadn't, you know, it wasn't my brand. It was something that I had bought, you know, I bought the business and everything about it. I felt a little constricted, but as soon as I got the Her Business and the messaging and the tagline and whatever, I got a different level of courage, but I still had to step into it and really own that. And I still have to do that every single day, you know, because, the more I imbue me into what I'm doing, you know, the stronger that brand becomes. But it takes becoming really clear about who you want to be in the world and the impact that you want to have. And there's a whole lot of, you know, all the details to figure out around what it is that we do inside of our businesses. But I think if you can come up with some messaging that you are like, yes, that is so us. Like for us saying, do what you love every day, it's everything, I believe. It's like doing what you love every day. So there's no incongruence. So I encourage you, if that feels like the right next move, to do it. Chandra, sorry, a couple of messages. Shan says, maybe recording what you typically say when you explain what you do to a potential client, perhaps what they typically ask.
That's a good idea.
That would help with messaging. And Chandra says, one thing you could do is be clear about what you are aiming, hoping to achieve, get from the process so that Amy can either confirm, yes, this is the right thing and we'll give you those things, or she can manage your expectations to say, no, those outcomes are not what you're going to get. That's a great point as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Hope that
Thank
helps.
You. Thanks.
All right. Cheers. All right. Next question here is from Chandra. And she says, I'm going to be experimenting with a new webinar, as a lead into a paid program. This is a slight shift in focus for my refined ideal client of a woman who has had a successful career and now wants to transition to working for herself. The idea is to address one of the big hurdles she faces, which is often around money. thinking of promoting a free webinar which addresses three core things to know or do in relation to money before you start your own business. In the webinar, I would then offer of a paid online program called Women and Money, which I believe is a program you've already run before successfully. Main objective is to test this webinar approach to see if it attracts the right people and if it converts into the paid program. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me get... Oh, you finished eating? Can I see your face? Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I am well.
Good. I'm pleased to hear it. I was looking at your face yesterday because you very graciously did a little vox pop at the end of Her Business Live the other day, and it's just been cut into a promotional video, which I'll share with you.
Oh, nice.
I was looking at you.
Okay. She's rabbiting on about something.
You said all the right things.
Good.
All right. So very excited about your webinar. So, you said your question is, as the target are working full time, any suggestions on best times to offer a webinar? Basically, I want to say yay on the webinar, yay on, going deeper with something you've already got, like being able to upsell into something you don't have to create from scratch, and addressing three core things that you know your ideal client has as an issue. So as far as the timing, I think this is something to test. And right now, Fiona Keery of Star Liberation, she's running her masterclass on, it's called The Wardrobe Revamp.
And yes, I'm registered.
Are you?
Yes.
So and she's invited doing those at 8 p.m. Oh, great. Yeah. So 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
On a Wednesday and a Thursday.
Yep.
Because she knows her ideal client is going to be available then. And so you might want to test a couple of times. You might test an evening one and a morning one.
Yeah. Right?
And it's pretty much, if it's a rinse and repeat, then it's not like double the effort. It'll be just testing two different times. I guess one of the things that I probably wouldn't do is do a survey of what time, because you're going to get every excuse. You need to, pick a couple of times and test them out, but knowing your ideal client. And what were you thinking? Were you thinking that you would do that 8 a.m., 12 noon, 8 p.m. and just do a couple of different time zones?
Yeah, I... last time I did webinars,
yes,
which was an excellent feedback process, not successful in converting to sales, I offered three different times, an evening, a weekday evening, a weekday morning, and a weekend.
Yeah.
But I didn't have enough of a runway to get enough people, so I didn't end up doing the weekend one, and I only had a couple of people that actually did register and show up. So I was thinking about for this weekend, this offer of maybe doing an evening one and a lunchtime one. Because I was thinking about, there's another, brand that I know that targets working women, and all of their webinars they do as lunchtimes, like a lunch and learn kind of thing. And it's it's going to be finished in an hour. You can be there. And, so again, I just thought maybe but I didn't want to give too many options either. So
no, you don't want to give too many options. And the other thing you might do is make it like 45 minutes. So that if it is a lunch hour, you know what I mean? They've got time to, it's like the gyms. A lot of the gyms now do 45 minute classes. So that you have time to get a shower and get back to work thing.
Yeah.
So that might be another one. So I would just test two times. I guess the thing is volume. It's like you want to get, it's about numbers, but if you do want to test two, then I would test two. I don't know your market well enough to be able to say. Do you notice I don't know if you've got enough traffic, particular days and times on your, say, your Facebook page when you get the most traffic, or on your website?
I probably need to revisit the insights, but I do feel like in the evening there does seem to be more activity when people are commenting. That's what makes, not necessarily my favorite time to be doing it, but it does seem to be like that's when people are active. So maybe I'll jump in and have a look at those.
Have a look. And it could be like, because I mean, we never run events on the weekend, really. Yet if I look at our stats, we should be doing stuff Sunday afternoon for you guys. Mm-hmm. Because there's just so much traffic on our page and in our groups around that time. But again, what sort of activity is it? If it's like, they're liking a quote or whatever, is it more like a relax back, sit back, I'm watching, the kids are watching TV and I'm just sort of goofing around, or is it, oh, yes, I can actually take something in.
Yeah.
So I do like the idea of two options, and I could ask you so many questions, but I'll stick to your questions.
Oh, no, you can ask me lots of questions.
So you said here, second question, any ideas of ways I could promote the webinar, where, who has the audience? So you really need to figure this out before you do the webinar. Like, yeah, where is your audience? And who has that audience? Because if you don't already have, you know, the owned ability to get to them, then you want to make sure there's an audience for you to promote to, because it's the whole thing of like create, you need to be creating the audience the same time as you're creating whatever it is you're creating. Mm. So I would really start to think about that, and almost, I'd almost sooner say spend a few weeks building the audience, you know, and then make the offer, or you need to find now some strategic alliances who might want to do that for you. So who does have your audience? Are there particular pages or groups where your, yeah, people hang out?
There are a few, and I think it might just be a case of me working out what's the protocol within the group of, right, what can be promoted versus, yeah, making some sort of connection and then inviting them to my group or whatever, right, those, yeah, kinds of things potentially.
Yeah. So one way you can do that is this. You could post in any group. They won't be offended by this. You can say, look, I'm looking to create resources for women, you know, who want to move from corporate to running their own business. Any idea where those women are hanging out? Right. Mm-hmm. So that could be, yeah, one question to help you, yeah, find. But also in those groups that do allow posting, you could say something like, you know, I work with women who want to leave their corporate role and start their own business, but what's holding them back is the fear of not having the income, not being able to replace their work income and having families depending on that income or whatever the money issue is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing a webinar on the topic. If you're interested in something like this, I'd love to know what you would want to learn.
Yeah.
So you've done two things. You've let them know that you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
You've asked a question. And so now they know you're someone who works with women on this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's killing two birds with one stone, but it's not selling anything. So the group organizers likely won't see it as a covert ask.
Yep.
But it's pretty clean. Do you know what I mean? It's, yep, not, you're not trying to pilfer people from the group or asking people to just DM me if you want to, you know when it's announced, when it's, which on, you'd, yeah, probably get, you know, get slapped on the wrist for.
Yeah.
But this way you're inviting questions. So there could be a couple of variations of that. I'm thinking of doing this thing and finding out whatever your question is. Or, you know, if you're someone, you know, I'm doing some research. If you're someone who isn't a corporate job and you do want to start your own business, what is it about the money situation that might concern you?
Yeah.
You know, and try and uncover some people. And then really, if you wanted to, you could DM those people.
Yeah.
Or if they have the ability to, you know, for you to promote the webinar when it comes along. But it just might introduce you to some people.
Yeah.
And then you want to use all your existing things. So if you have an email list, if you have, yep, a Facebook group or page, if you're on your website, like I noticed with Fiona, and I'm going to send her a note, the event's not on her website. I was like, hey, she's spending all, you know, she's promoting it here, there and everywhere. So there must be a good reason why she didn't put it on her website. But you want to use all the things that are available to you. I just want to make sure you've got an audience, because, you know, doing a webinar for crickets, it's just disheartening.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you've got an offer to make.
Yes. And the other thing that I guess is in the mix as an option is that I have a quiz. It's currently in very low rent form in terms of like a fillable, a clickable PDF, and you just, yes, add up the ticks, which is about identifying which money zone is the one that you should focus on to get the biggest impact first. And I had been thinking about, okay, maybe I promote the quiz and then off as the step two from the quiz, promote the webinar.
Yes, you could do that. So you have a lead magnet for your lead magnet. That's totally doable too. So when with our Making It offer, which is our mentoring offer, we have an ebook, mm-hmm, that goes to a free training, and it's on the free training that we make the offer.
Yep.
And so that definitely works as well. And what we know is that 10% of people who show up to the webinar will buy mentoring. but the numbers, it might be like, you know, 110-1, or you know what I mean? You have to figure out what those,
yes, reverse engineer
those numbers are. Yeah. Yeah. But but you might be able to go direct to webinar too. So we've tested both. The conversion is the same, whether someone goes direct to webinar, whether they go via the ebook, which, as I said before, those lead magnets are, we don't even wait for people to consume them, because on the next page, we're offering the free thing. And so, you know, if it's the quiz, then thanks, check your inbox. The quiz is on its way to you. You're not sending them to the PDF.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I've created this webinar. Click the button to, you know, to choose your date and time. And here's the 10 things you're going to learn, or the 5 things you're going to learn. And here's what other people say about this. And here's why I created it.
Mm.
But it's a numbers game.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you want to find those resources. So Anita, hey, Anita. Anita's saying, I share invitations to my community for Style Liberation on Facebook. Maybe there are opportunities within the Her Business community. Yeah, there are absolutely opportunities within the Her Business community. Now, the ideal client is not in the Her Business community, but it's definitely worth putting a note in there to say, I work with women who want to leave the corporate world, but what's holding them back is fear of money. You know, I'm looking to find audiences, you know, whether it's podcasts or pages or groups, who have this type of woman. What are your suggestions?
Cool.
And Anita, do you mean that you share with your community the Style Liberation events or the group? Is that what you're meaning there? Or that you're sharing about your business to Style Liberation? I'm looking at the chat box if you're wondering what I'm looking at. So they're my thoughts. They're business to my community. Yeah, got it. Yeah, so they're my thoughts. I know you keep fine-tuning your ideal client, you know, and again, trying to find who it is that you're going to serve, because you have so much to give, and it's just finding those ideal clients. Now, you had some people go from free to consulting recently, did I not? Yes.
Yes, so I've got 7 people in a 4-month trial of a group coaching thing.
And how's that going?
It's been really good. It's like, I actually said to PJ the other day, I was like, it feels very easy. And, you know, there's different things that I'm learning from it, which is part of the point of doing it. But I like having them in there and just doing something each week, and just checking in. And I'm going to keep refining what I'm offering to suit where they're at. And I'm constantly thinking about my ideal clients, some of whom are in that group and some are further along, but for me to not be swaying too much towards the outliers and just kind of going, who is this really for? And so that's been helpful for me to be, you know, coming back to who's this real target and how does that influence the type of activity that I'm suggesting that they can work on that week, or the questions that I'm asking. And but actually 2 of them have already started working together.
Oh, right. Great.
Yeah. So it's like that sort of connection thing has been good as well.
And have you done the podcast on the women, the 40 women?
Yes. I've just been going slowly through the Her Business community.
Good. The ones who are over 40. Yeah. Do you have a call to action in that podcast?
Yes. Which is about joining the private Facebook group.
Great. And is that working?
Not really, because no one's really hearing my podcast.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. But I've done about 10 interviews so far. So my goal is for the year is 40 women over 40 who've made this career change. And so they've been ticking all over and
Because that Facebook group can become, definitely it can become the source of lots of new clients for you, you know. And so again, there's so many things we can put our attention on, right? So the podcast is there, but if nobody's listening, then people aren't getting the call to action to go to the group. And so how else, if we think, okay, the group's where we want them to be, how else can we promote the group?
Yeah.
You know, are we using it in every PS in our emails? Is it everywhere on our Facebook page? Is it in every interaction? Is join the Facebook group? If that's going to be the little community that you're going to create from whom you're going to draw to say, hey, now I'm doing this free webinar, just like Fiona is with that 35 plus group, which is now over 2,500 women.
Yeah.
That becomes the main source of her webinar, which then becomes the main source of people buying her online course.
Yep.
And her color workshops and all those things. Mm. So it's just, you know, figuring out where do I want to play? Because I know, I mean, a podcast takes time and effort and energy and it's great, but it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
And so if it's the main source for the group, then you might be looking, well, where else? How many people are in your group?
About 150 or something.
Great. Have you invited them to invite people to join?
No, that's something that I actually thought of this week was of doing an active post of overtly asking them. I've had some people that have just invited people. Yeah. But for me to actually, you know, say it's like invite a friend week, you know, to encourage
every
people
week.
To. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully that's helpful, but do let me know. I've probably given you more questions than answers, but try the different time zones but build the audience before you announce the webinar. Really try and figure out what your traffic sources are going to be. This is email. This is a person who has a list. Here are the groups that I can post in.
Yes.
I'm going to do a lead magnet, run ads to it or whatever those things are.
Yep.
And do you have a number of people that you want on the webinar?
Not really, but I guess if I reverse engineer it about, you know, aiming for a 10% conversion rate, then if I wanted to end up with 10 people in the paid program, then I'd go, okay, so I have to get at least 100
to show up. You need 100 staying through to the offer.
To show up, so you to might stay even... through. So I probably need 200 or more to register.
Right, because if 25% is not an unusual show rate for a webinar, it's pathetic, I know, but it's not unusual. It depends on your industry. Then you can see how it's a numbers game, right?
Yes.
So if you got 200 and then you had 50 show up and 10% conversion, that would be 5.
Yeah.
Of course, everything above that is cream.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's like you don't want to be doing a webinar that's got 15 people unless your conversion rate's going to be through the roof, which is also possible, but you want to give yourself the best chance. And so, you know, what would it take to get, you know, even 100 people in a webinar? It's a great number. If you've got 100 people in a webinar, you know what I mean? It's more than you've probably done before.
Correct. I'd be stoked to have 100 people in a
webinar. Yeah, right. So maybe that's the start, but you want to have some metrics because otherwise you don't know what you're going for.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yep. Cool.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Julie says, wow, Chandra, you're taking so much action in so many different areas. And so what we want to do is just really narrow the focus. And so if it's the webinar, then all roads lead to the webinar. And so if the webinar, the roads to the webinar means podcast to lead magnet to webinar or podcast to group to webinar, like just mapping out what those pathways are and just keeping your eye on the prize that this is what I'm going for. And better to do the webinar in, you know, you don't want to be promoting it for weeks and weeks. That doesn't work for webinars. But if you've got this group that's, you know, and there's, you're building anticipation because, you know, you're gathering all your information about what you need in order to put the best, those three key core things, making sure they're right on point and your naming and your branding and all those things, and then putting together your script so that you're upselling to the course, you know, using the video script that I've given you guys before around webinars to really convert people. That's all a piece of work. You know, that sounds like a simple funnel, but it is still quite a few pieces. So not to take you off course at all, but just to say, give yourself the runway. And, you know, when you're ready, just dive on in. Yeah, but I'd sooner see you dive in and have, you know, double digit, triple digit numbers than dive in and feel like you've got 10 people and you've just put all this effort into it. All righty. So, Ange is our next question. So Ange says she wants to run a challenge. Yay. But has no idea how long it should be and what she should include. Any tips for this? All right. So where is young Ange? Here she is. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I am pleased to say, you know how people say there's an app for that? There's a podcast episode. There's two podcast episodes on this. So
I think I've actually listened to one of those podcast episodes.
Right. So there's a part one to part two, and I'll get to that in a moment. But it's called How to Create Your First Online Challenge, and it's part of the Content Sells podcast. And part one is kind of leading up to the challenge, and then part two is, you know, what to do during the challenge. And so I love a challenge, and I think you can get a lot of momentum and get a lot of attention, and it means that you can focus your energy for a specific period of time and then turn, you know, and then retreat again, which is my favorite way to do these things. But you can create some really meaningful touch points during that time and during that challenge. And so my high level thoughts about this are one, to get, you know, really clear on the purpose of the challenge and what it is that you're doing it for. Is it to, because if I think about the summit's not a challenge, but it's a similar thing. It's like the strategic objective is lead generation. So we do the summit for lead generation. And then the secondary goal is to then open up for membership. But the primary goal by far is to generate leads that we can nurture over time, and eventually people will go on to do something else with us, whatever it is. So you want to be clear on the reason for doing the challenge, and then you want to be really clear on who it's for. The other thing you want to be really clear on is the specific outcome that people are going to get. And so just a couple of weeks ago, did you do the Instagram stories challenge?
Yes.
Right. So very clear, right? 5 days, each lesson was about 2 minutes. Each to do was going to take you, you know, less than 5 minutes to action. So really simple. Out of the 5 days, like I have signed up to challenges before, and by day three, I'm like, it's too hard. I don't have time. But with this one, I did it every single day because I knew her video was going to be like a couple of minutes long. And then the to do the thing was going to be a couple of minutes long. And so you want to really have, you know, and the promise for that one is really just how to use stories. You know, how do you create a story? How do you do the images? How do you use the hashtags? How do you use the little stickers? Very simple. So whether it's, you know, your, you know, the whole life challenge is like a 90-day challenge, like a long challenge, but they're trying to help people lose weight, right? Yeah. Really big. So my suggestion is that you make it short. You make it 5 days, or you can even make it 3 days. I didn't watch it, but I know Amy Porterfield just did a 3-day challenge. That for me doesn't seem to be enough time, but know that, you know, people want to be in and out. And so 5 days works really, really well. And keeping your lessons and the actions really, really short. Concise and short. But if you are going to be, you're going to be selling upselling to something.
Possibly. I haven't decided that yet. Initially, the reason I want to do it is to get more bums on seats. That's my strategic objective.
Bums on which seats? In the clinic?
In clinic.
Right.
To start with. But also to get them in the community so then they can see what everything else that's happening as well.
Gotcha.
But that's sort of where I just feel like I'm doing lots of things and not generating much traction on anything. Because I do stacks of content for free.
Yes.
That they could then turn into something else. So it's even finding the topic of the challenge is quite a difficult task because digestive is so big.
Yeah, but you could do it 5 days to a flat tummy or, you know, or reduce the bloat in 5 days. Okay, I know if I, again, I don't know if people do this, I know if I have no grain, no sugar in 5 days, my belly's flat. But I don't, you know what I mean? You don't want to promise something that you can't do. Yeah. So what could you promise that could be done in 5 days? I know that, what is her name? Chantelle Bell. Yeah. Hers is a 5-day detox. Yeah. I know that Peter Gilliard's is, I think it's 5 or 7 days. She does have a flat tummy one. And then she has one that is around morning rituals, you know, so it's just about starting a habit of having great morning rituals. And I think, you know, she does like one day it's like having a juice, the other day it might be a lemon and water or whatever it is. So you want to make it something that you can deliver on in 5 days. But if your goal is to get people in the clinic, then you do want to start seeding whatever it is. You know, maybe the thing is get into the group or, you know, wherever you're going to nurture them and have them eventually decide that they do want to work with you. Or it could be that you have some sort of offer that is around, you know, your first visit to the clinic, and then you start to seed that towards the end. But again, I think you want to keep it short.
I was just going to say, I noticed with the Perfect Poo package, if somebody rings me, so everybody who I talk to will buy that package.
Right.
But when I advertised and stuff, I couldn't get people to sign up to it. So that's around the messaging. Again, like Christy Lee said, it's around the messaging that goes with that. So it's just sort of trying to get that messaging right.
How much is the perfect how do I say it? Perfect poo package.
It's $497.
$497. Great. So that could be something that you might sell on the end of a challenge, and maybe you'd do it with a couple of installments, because it's not a very expensive, but it's up there. You know, it's like the cost of a year membership for, you know, another organization, or maybe you do it in a couple of payments. But it gives you the 5 days to get people to understand why it's important.
Yeah.
But along the way, you're still giving them good value, and they're getting something out of the whatever the daily thing is.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what that hook is, and given a little bit of time, I'm sure in our collective wonderful brilliance here, we could come up with something for you. And so just give us some of those ideas, and it could be, you know, 5 ways to a flatter tummy. You know, it doesn't have to be that it's all one and done. And I'm not attached to that idea at all. I just know for me that can work. It doesn't take very long for my body to respond when I start doing the right things.
And if I could go 5 years and still not change mine.
So what? You could do it for 5 years.
Still not make a dent in mine. And so I do have something between the free and the so I do have, Julie's asked what about between free and $497. I do have that, and I offer a free 15-minute, and if I can get people to sign up for the free,
great, then you convert them. Perfect. Correct. So the free consultation might be it, and so that's great. So again, this is your funnel. Your funnel might be challenge to one-to-one to whatever, or it could be challenge to course. You decide what it's going to be for you. And if you feel like the one, one-on-one, and I think Chantel Bell was the same, if she could get them on the call, inevitably they would buy if she made them an offer, because they had so much trust and so much belief in her, and they had her ear, and she was really helping them. Yep. And then absolutely. And so, again, depending on how many people you can, you know, don't want to create a rod for your own back. You want to make sure that you're offering a consultation that, you know, if you got 25 of them, it wasn't going to, you know.
No, 25 would be fantastic. That would be my ideal number.
Okay, perfect. So Chandra says, you do so much great. Yeah, all of us need to know where the free line stops.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've been guilty of that. Free, 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 free. Yeah. Lots of free. And we have to finally figure out, when do we ask for the sale, and really building that into what we do.
And I guess the hardest thing that I find with changing the audience over, for example, this week I've done a prebiotic food list that has prebiotic foods that people don't know that normally exist. Everybody goes for it, and I've had so many people go and look at it, but they won't give me their email address details. So it's really hard to get that conversion for them to turn over.
Are you asking for the email to get the list?
Yes.
But they're not giving you the email?
No.
What, they're just not opting in?
They're not opting in. And I know that they want it, because they'll text me and go, or direct message me and say, so what are the foods though? And I said, well, sign up for the list.
Right. Would you put a link to that in the group for us?
Sure.
Okay. So let me see what you've got here. Yes, you do. Chandra says, yes, you do so much great content for free. And 5 days gut health challenge. One food, one task a day to add something or remove something to see how they feel.
Well, that's my thoughts for it. That's exactly
right.
But is that not too complicated? Do you think that would be too complicated?
No, it's all in the messaging.
Okay.
Yeah. And Chandra says, morning rituals for gut health. Yeah, so that could be an easy one as well. Something you could do every morning, you know, and then you've got them posting what they did that morning, or the picture of their green juice, or whatever it is that you recommend. And what about the basics for awareness? If you're aware and know what to look for, then you can start to take action for specific problems. That's another great idea, as long as it can be encapsulated? I don't know what the word is. You know what I mean? Encapsulated, that's the word, in like a very short, here's the data, here's the action.
Yeah.
Post your action. It just has to be brought down to that. And Julie says, do you have something? And then Anita says, I looked at my poo because of your action. After I was receiving your newsletter, is that the place to start?
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
We have gotten to know each other well over the last year or so, haven't we?
Well, one of my emails accidentally, I don't know what happened, but they accidentally got sent out, and Anita texted me and said, oh, I've checked my poo because of you. And I went, what? And then I worked out that the email had set itself off. So that was really useful. But it was also useful to get that feedback that she actually went through and checked off the checklist. So that was great.
That's awesome. And Selena says, I like the idea of something achievable or something that helps develop a habit.
Yeah, that's challenge. Feedback. Thank you.
Yeah, really good. So keep it short. Take a look at the podcast. I'll put the links. I think I've got the links. I'll put the links in here for you. Start seeding the next thing, you know, early, like on day three. I'm going to be doing these one-on-one consultations. There's only a limited number. I'm not going to be doing them forever. I've got this window of time. And, you know, go ahead and book, you know, and they can do that. And then for promoting the challenge, again, just get really clear on your traffic sources. Is it email? Is it people who've already purchased from you? Is it paid ads? Is it other people's lists or, you know, complimentary organizations, etc. And so part one of the podcast is about, you know, leading up to it. And then part two is welcoming and onboarding them, having a Facebook group, what to do in the Facebook group, regular challenge exercises and accountability, giving them the next steps and pacing them through. Mm-hmm. So the main thing is to keep the momentum going. But for me, when I've quit challenges, it's because there was just no momentum. And you want to expect that people are going to drop off. Like they'll be super duper enthusiastic on day one. Yeah. And then by day five, you know, the kid's fallen over and bruised their knee. They had to leave and go out and they spent half the day at the doctors, you know. So again, getting your numbers. Yeah. But, you know, it's not just the challenge. It's like what's happening on email.
Yeah.
You know, to keep them connected and to make the offer, not only during the challenge, you know, leading up to the challenge, then what's happening during the challenge, and then what happens after the challenge, you know, to wrap it all up and make the offer again. So I've put those links in there for you.
Thank you.
And like I said, I love a challenge. I haven't done one in years. We had a 21-day networking challenge years and years ago. And it really, you know, it dropped off after a while. Yeah. And I can't believe I created content for 21 days. I would never do that again. But, yeah, I like the idea of a challenge. The other challenge that was really good that I did just bits of, but even the little bits that I did converted me, was the Facebook group. Groups challenge that Sandra DeFreitas did. I don't know if you did you do that one, Anita?
I actually started to do some of that one and then I stopped off. I'd actually done a lot of that stuff with my group a couple of weeks before.
Right.
The group is tough. You know, I'm in there every single day and it's just super tough to get engagement.
In your group?
Yeah.
Well, watch this space because I don't know if it's stupidly or cleverly. This week reopened the Summit Facebook group, which was just for the Summit. And I've reopened it as a free Her Business community for all the women who can't get into membership and they may never get into membership, as a place for them to connect with each other. Now, I'm not going to be in there and I'm not going to be supporting them all like I do with our members in our different groups. But I'm testing this idea of if there's a warm community of women, then when the time comes when we do have something to offer, maybe some of them will come across. And so now we're putting together a content plan to keep that group engaged. Mm. And I know through Summit, we did such a good job of that through questions and activities and whatever. It was just so much work. And this cannot be that. Mm. The team doesn't have the capacity. I don't have the capacity. But you can totally create a wonderful engaged group that then becomes the source of your bookings into the clinic, the source of the perfect poo package, all that. But that's going to take a whole lot of bandwidth and effort. Yeah. And so you have to weigh that up. And the reason I've never done a free group before is because it's like, do we have the bandwidth and effort? And I don't know. So this is an experiment. I'm not committed to it forever, but I'm going to try it for a while. And if I can keep the group engaged and if there's momentum and they're supporting each other and all we need to do is make sure there's no bad eggs and there's no misinformation and that sort of thing, then, you know, who knows what will happen next time we open the door. So I'm experimenting. I will let you know how we go.
Yeah. One of the things I've just done today too, actually, is put in as one of the questions into the group, my lead magnet. I don't know why I've never done that before. Would you like to put the lead magnet in? Give me
yes.
And they can or they won't. So I've done that today to see if that will
You definitely wanted to be doing that, right? So because you want to be sending people to your group, to your website so you can retarget them.
Yeah.
You want to be sending people in the group to your lead magnets so that now they're on your email list,
yeah.
right? And so it's none of these things works independently. No. It's really being able to touch people on multiple places. And so if you're sending them to a landing page, then you can retarget them because they visited the landing page, or you send them to a video that's on your page, not in the group, and now you've got them as views to retarget. Mm. Right. And so you just, it's like this little maze. It's like, go here, you know, and so you're just getting them to do all these various things that then allows you to speak to them on various platforms. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But sometimes you don't know what you don't know. When I saw that, I went, oh my God, I don't know why I've never done that.
Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Very good. So hopefully that helps. Let us know about the challenge. I think we'll be all in.
Good.
Especially if it requires us to look at our poo. Thank you. And Chandra says she opted in for your prebiotic list earlier today. So yeah, but do post that. I'd like to see why people aren't giving you the email address. Yeah, see if we've got any clues. Yeah. All right. Very, very good. All righty. So in the time we have available, if there is a question that someone would like to raise that we could try and answer on the spot, we can certainly do that. While I'm waiting for that, I'll just give you some of the next things coming up. And I do want to check in on your projects. So let's just go to the next slide. We do have a monthly workshop coming up towards the end of the month. We are turning our attention to a new topic, and the topic or the growth zone that's coming up next is the growth zone, which is you, which is one of my favorite growth zones. So it's going to be more about you, because no matter how many business skills we have, ultimately, if our mindset and our confidence is all in the right place, it helps business move along so much better. The other thing is Her Business Live. If you haven't already nabbed your ticket, please do. Anita, I was saying to Chandra earlier, I was looking at the rough cut of the video from last year's Her Business Live, where both of you actually did a little vox pop thing at the end, and so I was admiring you, and that'll be out soon, so I'll just get you to have a look at that. But thank you for the beautiful things you said. If you haven't yet nabbed your ticket, grab it and grab one for a friend. Once again, we're making available for a limited time a ticket for you to bring a friend along. Now, if you do come along, just know I will be looking for opportunities to showcase idealists. And so if I know you're coming along, then that puts you in the running for that, of course. The other thing is we have a fabulous intern here with us for the next couple of weeks. Her name is Mary Claire, and she's from the US, and she's a great writer. And so she's doing some featured member interviews. And I did post in the group inviting you if you wanted to be interviewed by her. Now, if you've been a featured member in the last 6 months or so, probably don't need to do that. But if you haven't, then you want to go ahead and let us know that you want to be interviewed. And she will be in touch. She'll set up a time that works for you, and then she'll ask you a few questions and create a nice editorial piece. Chandra says, I think I'm going to be interstate, so don't think I can make it. Very sad about that. Boo-hoo, I'm very sorry to hear about that too. Let me know if anything changes. All righty. Okay, we are going to do some project check-ins. So I hope you've got a project that you're working on and that you can give us an update on. And you're at the top of the list here, so I'm coming straight to you.
That's okay. I'm actually on target with mine. So mine was to set up my topic for the month, do the blog post, do the newsletter every week. So a couple of things I've learned in the 2 months that I've been doing it. Doing one topic a week is killing me. So I've gone to one topic a month, which is better, and I can just break it down into segments. So that I started last week. I've also noticed that engagement in the newsletter has dropped off from week to week, and I expected that would happen, because I think I have a lot of freeloaders on my list, so I did expect that to happen. So that was good, but I am getting good feedback from the newsletter that goes out as well, so that's all positive for me. And it also is easier for me to focus what I'm spending my time on for my content. I know this is what I'm doing. I've scheduled the whole year, and now I know where I'm going. So
that's so powerful. I like your one thing a month. We're doing that with our growth zones as well, like just one a month. It just helps you organize your content and your mind. And there's no doubt that you could speak about four different things. You know what I mean? Four things on the one topic in any month. Yeah, that's great. Congratulations. That must have freed up so much headspace.
Has.
Yeah, very, very good. Thank you. Christy Lee. Yours is the podcast, right?
Yes, the podcast, absolutely. So a little bit behind the original project plan, but it'll still get done. So I've pretty much freed up this weekend and most of Friday from client work to batch record. And then I've got someone that's going to do the production side of all of that, so he'll get that done. Launch date's the 25th, but I just want to get as much content to him as I can so we can he can start loading that, and we'll have a few episodes ready to roll on the 25th.
Yay. And you've got your launch strategy?
It's a loose strategy. I don't think it's a great strategy, but I've set up the Facebook page. I've got my VA working tomorrow. She's set up a landing page where people can opt in for updates, a bit of a wait list, I guess, so that we can start to tease out some information, and that will become the podcast mailing list. And I'll start doing some Facebook lives, and once I start recording this week, I'll do some promotion about what content is coming up in the first sort of 4 or 5 episodes.
Yay. And are you doing interviews, or you, or both?
I'm going to do interviews probably. I plan to do interviews one every 4 or 5 episodes at this stage. I'm going to just see how the reaction goes into. I've put some posts on Facebook today asking people if they have questions they want answered so I can see what content people are asking for. But I definitely would like to do interviews one every 4, and I've asked a few people already, so I'll start pre-recording those. And then I'm just hoping to be guided to an extent by what people are actually listening to and what feedback I'm getting beyond that. But I've got, you know, 60 weeks of content ideas that I can just roll through. But
wow, great.
I'm not going to overcommit to those if I'm getting asked lots of questions about other things that
are
more valuable.
And the Her Business Group might be a good one to ask that question of as well, if you haven't already, about the, you know, the topics, and like get them to be as specific as possible. Otherwise you're going to get broad brush, vague sort of responses. But that is great. Really, really good. Yes, and look forward to the launch and anything we can do to support.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Julie.
Hello.
Hello.
What can I? I had just a couple of small questions, which I was going to put in earlier, but life has taken a sort of a different turn, so I've just been a bit distracted. But can I ask those now?
I can answer them, yes. And if not, because I want to get around to everyone's projects, then I can always follow up later. So let me hear them.
Okay. How long would you suggest we recommend for a pop-up to come up if someone goes to your website? I know there may not be like a golden kind of time.
Yes, that's a good question. So
do you allow them, like how I've done it is I've allowed people enough time to sort of read just the first sort of 2 paragraphs, and then it kind of comes up. So I don't want to cut them off while they're reading the connection statement.
This is a personal opinion, not a science. There's probably science. I like to give them at least 30 seconds. And that's one of the things that I said. I saw the pop-up this morning and I've just pinged Scott and said, can you change this? I'd like to give them at least 30 seconds so they're not like, whoa, affronted. And you can do that by either a timer or, you know, when they've scrolled this far down, if you think people do that. But if people are going to come to your site and click. So I like to give them 30 seconds, and then I like to not show it to them again for at least 7 days. And so if you do have people coming to your site again, that they're not seeing it every time and that they're not seeing it on every page they go to, do you know what I mean? So, but there might be some, more, you know, evidence-based stuff that you could find out there, but that's my, I hope that answers that question. And you had a second question?
Yes. And it was sort of tying in with what Ange was saying. I've created my new program, so that's kind of answered my one of the projects that I've just completed.
Yeah, it's great.
So I have 3 programs, but the way I've done it is I have the most expensive program as 1 session, and the cheapest, it gets cheaper as the more sessions you do. So 12 programs works out to be cheaper.
Got it.
But I'm also wondering, do I have an option? So I also have a 20-minute free session, which, like Ange, if people get to that point, then I know in their minds that they've jumped through a lot of hoops to get to that call, and I can convert them pretty easily. Do I also offer a cheaper paid program that is easy to get into? So, for example, I saw a hot yoga was advertising $40 unlimited yoga for 2 weeks. So that's kind of, you know, a very easy option to get in the door.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they do it.
I'm wondering if I do a paid something that is, you know, they don't have to go, wow, that's, you know, it's a lot of money, but I take that out of the equation, but I still have it as a just a paid.
So that's a question that I'd like a little time to think about and give you a more thoughtful answer. So do you think you could articulate that in the group for us?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yep.
That'd be great. All right. Awesome. 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 Thank you. Chandra.
Hello. So I've had a couple of projects. So the podcast project, 40 interviews, is up and running and sort of ticking over. That's in a good rhythm. So basically once a month I do a solo episode and the rest of the episodes are interview episodes. So that's sort of ticking along okay. So that I've sort of got that in motion.
Is it weekly?
It is weekly, yeah.
Okay, yep.
So then the next...
Do you have your stats? Do you know what your stats are?
For the podcast?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. All right. As long as you know what they are and you have a sense of what you want them to be. Because again, it's like you can keep putting episodes out there. I love podcasting, so I'm quite happy to do it. But if it's not serving its purpose, I mean, that's why we put her business on hold for 2 years. Well, no, it wasn't that. It was because it was a content grind, because every week I had to come up with a new episode. And I was like, I don't know why I'm even doing this podcast, because I wasn't asking for anyone to do anything. You know, like there was no call to action. There was no lead map, nothing. I was just delivering great content. And so, better to know your stats than not know your stats. But again, I just encourage you to figure out what's going to change those numbers. You know, is it that you're going to have big name guests? You know, one of our episodes is like this and everything else is like this. Because I had a big name guest. Like, is it the big name guest? Is it getting your guests to share it? Is it that you're going to run some Facebook ads? Are you going to do some of those wave file kind of posts like we've been doing that gives people a little snippet? If it has a place in your ecosystem, like if it is part of some funnel. And so for us, it's part of the bottom of the mountain is blog, podcasts, that sort of thing. But if you want to grow the numbers, then I encourage you to maybe even put a post in our group and let's brainstorm some ideas for growing those numbers.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is it's a search engine, right? And so what are your titles? What is your description? Are you using keywords that people in your industry would be looking for? Because we never used to pay any attention to the show notes, really. They were the basic basics. And now they're loaded with information, you know, and we've seen our stats gradually go up. So I have some things that can help.
Yeah. Awesome.
And Ange says, Chandra, can you send me a link for your podcast and I will share it on my page?
Ah, thank you, Ange. Yes, I will.
Yeah, we'll pop it in the group because we can all share it.
And so then the other project was this beta group program. So that has started. That's been going for about 3 weeks now actively. Or coming into 4 weeks, and so just continuing to refine that, and I'm going to be getting feedback, just a couple of questions to check in with them, because I said it was a sort of a pilot test group, to be saying, you know, what are they getting value from? Is there anything they would want more of or less of, so that I'm getting insights of how they're getting value, so that I'm able to give more of that, and to also be saying, how is this scalable, if it's scalable, as an ongoing offer.
And can you offer them continued support and paid for?
Yeah, so they're paying $97 a month now. And so the idea was for me to run this for 4 months to see how it goes, to see whether that becomes a lower cost offer that I can put out, rather than only going offering one-on-one coaching or a higher end program. So yeah, that's sort of what this is testing.
Okay, great. And you're 4 weeks in?
Yes.
All right, very good. Thank you. All righty, Anita, lovely one, how are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm sitting in silence, which is a very good thing.
I know. Have they left?
Have left today. Oh my gosh,
really? Yay!
No dog barking was the big thing, because every day they were here, the dog would bark. So, yeah. So happy. Stress is gone straight away. Good.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't actually have a single project that I'm hammering home. So for me, I'll be really honest, retail is shot. It's really hard at the moment. So my one to many is really on the back burner now, and I'm looking at I'm leaving that infrastructure there, and I've been thinking and planning and doing some rough numbers and identifying opportunities that I can do other than that, or to leverage that. So what I'm working on now is so I did the retreat as my last project.
Yes.
That was so good. And I'm researching other places to hold that. So that's ticking away, not letting go of that. So I've really got the minimal help and then the deep dive help. So now I'm looking at structuring something in between. So another product offering, like a masterclass of, you know, just brushing up. You've got the basics. Here's how you can learn some new skills in the body positive space, getting ready for summer. So not as deep dive as the other one, and offer that as a one-day masterclass.
Okay, and live in person?
Live in person.
Right, and great.
To be honest, this is where my struggling is going forward, is so much of what I'm looking at now is that personal space. I'm keeping an eye on the price of what can I do that is, you know, a one-to-many that is scalable, because that sort of stuff, you know, is not overly scalable.
So. Right, because the live in-person events are not scalable, no.
No, there's only so many you can have in a room.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's,
and so you either need to raise the price or get a bigger room, but it's still, it's it evaporates. It's not a do it once and, you know, it's not very easily, it's not scalable. Great. And so what happened to your one-to-many? It just got sidelined just because you're focusing on retail?
Well, my one-to-many is my retail. You know, that's my shop. Oh. That's the way I look at it. You know, that's...
Okay.
Yeah, so which has been for 10 years. So it's now, it's what else can I do to create other revenue-generating opportunities, you know, but I just keep drawing quite a few blanks, to be honest. Again, looking at that scalability. With what I do in my little niche. So I'm watching Fiona. She's my hero. We do operate in the same space. And I've actually, off the back of speaking to PJ about partnering recently, I've got a call scheduled with Fiona next week, I think.
Great.
Very excited about that. So I watch her because, you know, she has a scalable model with her offering. It's just mine is a tiny niche within that. So anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, right. And she has gone from, you know, just doing the in-person events and not, you know, scrambling to get people, to having those events sell out before she even opens the doors. And now developing, you know, this fantastic group that she's monetizing. She's got her masterclasses, I think, tonight, maybe tomorrow night, night to then sell her online course. And, I think she's a good one to have a conversation with, because like you said, she's in the same space and it's still a soft thing, you know, that she's selling. It's, you know, positivity and loving yourself more and having a wardrobe you love. And so, yeah, I think that's really, really great. And also, you know, and if there's anything we could do, I'll put some brain cells on it as well. Because I don't have anything top of mind of stuff you can do in the in-between space, because you're so good at connecting your community and you know the power of having them connect with each other. So what could you do that allows those women to connect with each other? Is it a recurring revenue model? Is it, you know, something like that? And I know Fiona's looking at something like that down the line as well. I think the power's in community. You know?
It is. Boom. That's it. The power is in community. And to give them a place to come together to connect, because I learned that doing the retreat, that after the retreat, we had a 6-week follow-up. You know, every week we were checking in, but the girls straight away said, oh, so when are we going to have our reunion? So in 12 months, they want to get together again. So then you think, oh, okay. So if they're going, if maybe that's another opportunity. So, you know, it's other ways to connect.
Great. Love it.
Thank you.
Keep us in the loop. Thank you. And Selena's our final one here, and then we will be done. Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. Sorry about my disappearing act and change of name and everything else.
That's right. You're back. I see you.
Okay. The question is where we up to with our project.
With your project, yes.
So I put that on hold for a while and went back to my original programs, which is Your Weight Is Over. And yes. I'm now looking at creating a service agreement with another person. And so they will provide me with that. They will, you know, their part of the job will be to help me with the technology. And then, they will share the profits. So that's why.
Right. And what is Your Weight Is Over? Is that a course?
Oh yeah, that is it's basically the tagline is gain awareness, gain control, release the weight. It could be 8 or it could be 13 week course. And this is a course that has been given to me by my mentor. Who is an academic and he's got a worldwide reputation in the EFT world. And so I'm the only one in Australia who actually has this course.
Gotcha.
So I'm just going to utilize that one and extension on that one, yeah.
Very good. Well, it's good to see you. We didn't get to see you in Sydney.
No, went to New Zealand.
That's okay. We had a lovely time. I know some of you tuned in online. Just a reminder that recording with Belinda is there available for you as well. Very, very good around messaging. Thank you, Selena. Hey, thank you all for your questions. Julie, I really want to answer your question and give it some thought and really understand it. So if you want to go ahead and post that in the group, I think that, yes, there can be something in the middle, but what I want to make sure is it's not putting something in the middle just because we haven't figured out how to take the path that's already existing. So I just want to be able to see it very clearly and be able to give you a thoughtful response. A reminder to do your hour of power, find an hour. Like for those of you who are in the beginning, you heard me talking about Elizabeth Gilbert's presentation. Find that time that is your space where you can do the deep work, where you can be truly creative, away from distractions and phones and other priorities, to be able to do your deep work, whether it's on your project or anything that makes your heart sing. Share in the group, ask your questions. If I don't know your questions, I can't answer them, and neither can the gorgeous, gorgeous women here in this group. Angie says, thanks everyone for the ideas today. I appreciate them. Have a great week. Yeah, have a great week. I'll see you back here online later in the month with our workshop. Otherwise, I will see you in the group. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much. Bye for now.